Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be here now with what we'll refer to as the mini suit. Is this where you wanted to go in your career?
No, I can definitely confirm that.
Well, then heed my words. Get yourself together. In the words of Homer Smith, get yourself together.
I will be better, I promise.
Hey, come on. You either get better or get worse. You never stay the same.
I'm as bad as Rob Manfred trying to lead these negotiations. Oh.
This is where you excel when you're complaining. Okay. Yeah. Hey, there you go. This is where you excel. Let's see. Very quickly, Roman Bravo Young, Nick Lee, Carter Cerracci, Aaron Brooks, all number one seeds. Drew Hildebrandt and Max Steen are number two seeds. Greg Kirkfleet is a three seed. Bo Bartlett is a seven. Brady Berge is a 10, and Creighton Edsel is a 10 as well for the upcoming Big Ten Wrestling Championships. So there you go. It's in Lincoln, which is a big city in Nebraska, Matt. All right. So
thank you.
I feel like I've got to like do everything a step at a time here now.
But does anybody care about Nebraska anyway? Except for Omaha, the home of the College Baseball World Series.
Oh, Lincoln's a nice city, actually.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, Lincoln, no, that's the state capital. It's actually very nice. And I mentioned that for anybody going to the Big Ten Wrestling Championship, the arena, which is first class, the arena's first class. Relatively brand new. I would say, what, I don't know, 7-8 years now it's been open. Tremendous place. So the fans will love the arena, and what it did was it was a city project. I think Nebraska pays like a dollar rent or some nominal number, right? But they took an entire railroad area and they transformed it into restaurants, bars, hotels. Yeah, anybody going out there, it's actually a really vibrant area to go to. So you'll like it. Now, once you get outside of Lincoln, obviously, and I've driven. I mean, I've driven from Nebraska down into Kansas and so forth. Look, it's, you know, it's what you think. It's a lot of cornfields and wheat, and that's fine. I mean, no offense. How do you think you eat?
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, somebody has to. I mean, Omaha's fine. I mean, I've been up from Lincoln to Omaha, and it's nice. Omaha's very nice, too. You know, once you get west of there, it's, you know, up going toward North Platte. It's, you know, it's what you think it is. Yeah. You know, for somebody from Nebraska, I mean, how's the trip on I-80 in Pennsylvania? I mean, you know, just more mountainous. Ah, no, you know, to be honest with you, almost every area of the country I've been to has its own special beauty to it that may be a little bit different. But I mean, you know me, for the most part, unlike you, I seem to find the positives in most things. My positives are from experience.
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
I do, John Hara, and always will. I said that to him last night. I said, you got more to give, John Hara. I get this text. Somebody messed with something, I'm sure. It's always somebody else's fault. Oh, my goodness. You've spent so much time in the staff meetings, you're now taking on the characteristics of the leader. All right, well, let's get to our...
S-U-I-T, that spells suit-a!
Our play-by-play call of the day.
What a night for the Gales. We got stuff being thrown on the floor. This thing's over. Back down the hatches in Moraga. Holy smokes.
Our broadcast table is out on the court right now.
Oh, my goodness. What a win for the Gales. They take down number one on an historic night in college basketball.
That's Dave Fleming and also Sean Farnham on Saturday night as St. Mary's beat Gonzaga. And listen to the crowd. We have crowds back this year. What a difference it's made in college football, in college basketball, in the NFL, the NBA, the NHL. What a difference it's made. And not only that, why are we seeing what we're seeing in college basketball? The crowds are one. You know, I mean the storming of the floor by the St. Mary's student section, Arkansas in Fayetteville when they beat Kentucky, the emotion of it. So the crowds are playing a huge role in these games. But also college basketball this year, and it happened in college football too. You know, it'll happen again this season. They both, because of the circumstances of COVID and the rules with the super seniors, got older. And I've been saying that for a long time. Everybody, oh, the one-and-dones. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like I'm watching the other night. Chet Holmgren's a one-and-done, right? And he's a top-four pick, Gonzaga, right? I can tell you right now, of the players on the floor, five starters each team, he was the 10th best player on the floor on a college level. He was the 10th best player. I mean, he might as well have been in the witness protection program. I'm like going, okay, I thought he was supposed to be the star. It's like the third time I've watched Gonzaga this year, and every time I've watched, he's done nothing. Now, I'll give Paolo Banchero credit from Duke. Every time I watch him play, he does something. Holmgren hasn't done a single thing when I've watched him this year. And he didn't do much, and Drew Timmy didn't do much the other night either. Actually, Rashier Bolton, the former Penn State guard, actually played very well. He kind of kept Gonzaga in it for a while. But St. Mary's played great, and they don't have a single pro on that team. They played great. It was fun to watch. You know, the crowds, older teams. It's just making such a difference in the level of play in the game. That's why you're seeing it be so even this year. That's how you get the top six knocked off. That's how a seventh top 10 team, Texas Tech, gets knocked off by TCU. Everybody's older this year. It makes such a difference. All right. Let's bring in Chris Mack, Pittsburgh. Chris, you know, I could talk to Matt, but I just don't know where that's going to go, so I'm going to talk to you. Welcome.
What's up, Steve? It's possible the Pirates will have another winning season by then, but I don't know how probable.
Look, we're trying to avoid drug testing on the show, Chris. Don't say such outrageous things, okay? Hey, it's outrageous. It was interesting because I was talking to my class today, and I was discussing the baseball contract. I said, you know, we talk about tanking. I said, I'm not saying these teams tanked. I said, but for example, I said, the Jacksonville Jaguars end up with Trevor Lawrence. All right. Now, at one point, obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers ended up with LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Pirates have Henry Davis. I said, I want more of an instant return for my first overall pick. Why on God's green earth does a baseball team tank? Why?
Because they don't want to cut into the profits. It's that simple. I mean, I don't think we're breaking any news to people. But the Pirates and the Marlins and the Royals and the A's of the world. Now the Rays have somehow figured out a way to actually win ball games while they keep the budget on a shoestring. But those teams they don't want to eat into their profits. So they give us the old tired trope of how, well, you know, it's an unfair, unlevel playing field. And you know what? To an extent, it probably is. But, you know, it's much easier for them to lean on that excuse and try to pit the fans against those mean, nasty players who really are just looking for what amounts to a cost of living increase on the last CBA.
Mm-hmm.
and blame them for everything. And that's where we're at. This, unfortunately, you know, I remember talking to Jameson Taillon back in 2020 when it was fairly contentious between the league and the players on how they were going to structure that season midst pandemic. And I remember talking to Jameson, and he said to me, you know, if you think this is bad, just wait till the CBA is up.
Right.
The players, the owners, the agents, the league, everybody knew exactly what was coming down the line, and they all just chose to sort of whistle past the graveyard and wait for it to jump up and bite them on the rear end. And then when it did, they didn't exactly seem to have any sense of urgency about moving forward. You know, the owner spent 40-plus days after the lockout began not sending any substantive proposals the players' way. And then once they did initially try to get into some meager negotiations, immediately requested the federal mediator twice. The Players Association has said, thanks, but no thanks. We'd like to actually get a meaningful offer before we do something crazy like that. I do understand those that are frustrated with the players to an extent, because, to be honest, there is some truth in the fact that it is an unlevel playing field. And part of that is because the players, they'd like to raise the luxury tax threshold even higher. And that's going to, I guess, de-level the playing field, if I can make up words.
So far, so good. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I've got more.
What's next? What's next? Strategery?
So the strategery from the owners here, Steve, is actually working quite well. I think it's a waiting game now. I think, unfortunately, we're going to miss a pretty significant number of games because the owners, I think the owners think they can outlast the players. I think the players know that once the impact of no games being played starts to hit the owners' pocketbooks, that they will probably actually sit down for some good faith bargaining and negotiation. But we could be 2 months away from that, to be quite honest. If they don't have some sort of major breakthrough in the next week, I think we're talking about like a Memorial Day start.
So let me throw this theory by you. Let's have a little fun with this. What is the least profitable month of the season for the owners?
I would guess it's probably April, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So what's the incentive for them to play? There's no incentive.
Oh, yeah.
There's no incentive for the owners to play. They're going to take the least profitable month, or they're going to flush it.
Yeah, and it gives them an excuse to not pay the players their full salaries, which is what this whole thing has been from the very beginning, which is exactly, and the players know that. Everyone knows that. That's why the players have very rightfully accused the owners of not bargaining in good faith. So, you know, until everybody sees the other side for what it's worth and actually comes to the table with, like I said, I've used the term good faith probably a handful of times already, but until that exists between these two sides, I don't think they're going to go much of anywhere. I don't think they'll let an entire season fall by the wayside. But I certainly think this thing could end up getting whittled down to, you know, 100, 110 games. And like I said, maybe not starting until Memorial Day, because that's when the financial impact, to your point, will actually really start to hit the owner's pocketbook.
That's when school's out and things like that.
Right.
So let's get to something that's probably more fun to talk about. The hiring of Brian Flores by the Steelers. If there was any organization that could sit there and they could comfortably hire Brian Flores and could care less about any outside interest, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. You and I both know he's a quality coach. What kind of add is he to Mike Tomlin's staff?
I think it's invaluable, because the one thing
I'm with you.
we've had a problem here in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin's with his willingness to embrace new ideas and maybe divergent ideas within his coaching staff. You look at guys like Keith Butler, who just retired. You look at guys like Randy Fichtner, who was pushed out the door a year ago. Those are guys that Mike Tomlin's known for decades. You know, they didn't necessarily coach together for decades, but they came together at one point, all of them, and they knew each other going back a long way. Fichtner and Butler and some of the other guys on the staff, they're not the kind that are going to stand up in a defensive meeting room during a particularly difficult week of game planning on a Monday night, late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, and say, "Coach, I don't think that's going to work." Brian Flores has the guts to do that. Brian Flores is no wallflower, as we've seen over the last few weeks. He's willing to take on the entire National Football League. And some of the interviews I've seen, you know, I saw the one he did down in Florida, the I Am Athlete podcast with Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel and Brandon Marshall and Chad Johnson. I thought it was pretty insightful because when he was called to task by Omar for, you know, not tanking and it cost them the first overall pick and cost them Joe Burrow, Brian Flores looked Omar dead in the eye and said, I'm fine with that. You know, the man wants to win football games and doesn't care who he ticks off to do so. So if there's a late Monday night, early Tuesday morning game plan meeting, when they're crunching film trying to figure out how they're going to slow down Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and Brian Flores is not excited by the idea that maybe Mike Tomlin or Terrell Austin are laying out, he's not going to have a problem standing up and saying, no, I don't think that's going to work. I think we're going to try this. And that's really what the Steelers have needed for a long time. Now, on both sides of the ball is an infusion of new ideas. We didn't see as many as I thought we'd get on the other side of the ball from Matt Canada this year. It was disappointing, gravely disappointing. But I would expect some different wrinkles on the defensive side of the ball that would help. You can't have the defensive player of the year and one of the handful of best interior D linemen on the same defense and still end up 32nd in the league against the run and I think 22nd overall.
Here's another aspect to this. Mike Tomlin, of course, has been entrenched as a head coach for a long time. What do you think it means to have another guy on the staff now that has been a head coach and has sat in that chair, has been in that office, has had to make the decisions that Mike has to make? What do you think that means to him in terms of his ability maybe to bounce some ideas off somebody else?
I think it's big. You know, he's had that before, but it was always on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, right. It was Mike Munchak, you know, guys
Munchak
like that.
And Haley.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think having that, it comes back to what I think will be a very interesting dynamic between Flores, Austin, and Tomlin and how much those guys are all willing to challenge each other. You know, and so if they're all willing to challenge each other, but in a good way, in a constructive way, again, I think that's invaluable. I mean, you're talking about a guy who gave the Dolphins their first back-to-back winning seasons in nearly a quarter century. So Brian Flores knows what he's doing. I think it's an absolute home run, and I'll just be curious to see how long he lasts here because I can't imagine if he has even a half-decent year here in Pittsburgh, I can't imagine there aren't going to be teams that come knocking on his door for, at the very least, the defensive coordinator position, if not a chance to jump back into the head coaching ranks.
All right. Now, the quarterback situation, the best guy available at the moment is Mason Rudolph. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and you and I both know the fan base doesn't accept that. I got it. Is the fan base willing? You know, do you think the fan base is excited to get a new face in town, like a drafted quarterback? I'm not saying there's a quarterback out there they should draft, because I don't think there's a first round pick in the draft at quarterback. There will be first round quarterbacks picked, but they aren't first round talents to me.
Right.
The big difference. Do you think the fan base is ready for something like that? I think they are.
I think what the fan base wants doesn't necessarily jive with what
it never does.
The last 18 years you know the experience over the last 18 years has spoiled the fan base, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. It spoiled the fan base to the point where anything short of a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, and that's even granted that Ben Roethlisberger didn't really look like a Hall of Fame quarterback the last 20 games of his career or so, anything short of that is just, there's going to be complaints. I think there, and that's not the entire fan base, but there's certainly a loud enough, vocal enough contingent that will feel that way. I think the most realistic fans understand that those quarterbacks don't grow on trees and that there isn't one available in this year's draft, and there's probably not one available in any other method, to be quite honest, either, because Aaron Rodgers is not leaving Green Bay. As much as Russell Wilson wants to change his Twitter avatar, he's not leaving Seattle, most likely. And if he does, he's not coming to Pittsburgh. I think most people understand that reality is, get yourself a quarterback who can do just enough to not lose you games. Rely on your defense, which should be better given the top-end talent that it has available to it and the assistant coaches that you've now put in place, and lean on your running back and your tight end, Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. And that should be enough that you're a wild card team. Is that going to be enough to keep you in Super Bowl contention year after year? No, probably not. We're probably looking at a team that's very similar to, you know, resembles the Tommy Maddox teams that existed before Roethlisberger came along. You know, it was a fight to get to the wild card. They'd get there, maybe they'd fight for a division and compete, but they were never Super Bowl favorites. Until that next quarterback comes along, we've got to face the fact in Pittsburgh that it is a quarterback-driven league, and that quarterback is not immediately close to coming to Pittsburgh. So you can scratch and fight and claw for a playoff berth and hope that that's enough and that maybe you catch lightning in a bottle in getting to those playoffs, that maybe something crazy happens. That's the realistic side of the fan base. The very vocal minority, I think, of the fan base, part of the fan base, is expecting a Hall of Famer to just fall out of the sky, or thinks way too much of Kenny Pickett. Nothing against Kenny Pickett. I think he'll be a solid starter in the NFL.
He's fine.
But, you know, they think too much of Kenny Pickett because they saw him at Pitt this year, or they think Malik Willis can be the next Lamar Jackson, which, you know, to your point, there isn't a first-rounder in this bunch. Two or three will probably get drafted in the first round. But if I'm the Steelers, I'm more focused on rebuilding that offensive line.
Entire answer, you never once mentioned Mason Rudolph.
I mean,
it's just so, you know, so disappointing.
He is that guy. He's that game manager guy. I'm one of the people in this town that actually likes Mason Rudolph somewhat as compared to a lot of the fan base. I think he can be good enough. I think he can be Tommy Maddox.
But he needs an offensive line, though. I would lean that way with my first pick, but that's only me.
No, I'm absolutely with you. Unless the elite offensive linemen that you really like are all off
gone.
The board by then.
Yeah.
And then you can look maybe D-line or corner or even inside linebacker. But I think most of us agree that, especially after, and I have no problem with going with Najee Harris. I love Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But especially after you passed on offensive line in the first round last year, you've got to make that pick this year.
I mean, look, you could be looking for a corner and end up with Artie Burns. You just don't know. All right.
It's unfortunately a bad Steelers habit. The Artie Burnses and Senquez Golsons have littered their roster.
I feel like I gave you the shakes on that last one. All right. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you, Chris, very much.
Thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, now what are the excuses going into the break here? Can we do it smoothly? Did somebody foul you up again?
No, we're good this time.
We're good this time.
We're good.
Did you take my advice? I mean, some of the stuff we have is made in the old Soviet Union, so all it understands is force, so just hit it on the side.
Oh, yes, I've known that method for a while.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We need Purdy Insurance to take care of Matt today, evidently. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Great when it comes to your insurance needs, saving you money, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street, and all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great pre-owned inventory. Awesome service department as well. Inspections, routine, diagnostics, they take care of it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Helms Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Do we need to get mini suit insurance for you?
I think we'll just consider this one of those days where you just burn the tape and move on.
But in some ways, I've had some great comments. You want to burn the tape because you had a problem?
Just burn the tape on the day, not necessarily the show. Like, physically burn the tape of the show.
But why do you want to burn the tape on the show? I mean, it's
no, I don't want
a really
to.
Good show. It's like, I mean, because you struggled. You know? No offense, most people overlook your issues.
Oh, I'm aware.
I mean, really? So when's your next game?
As of right now, it is just Wednesday this week for the regular season finale for Bucknell Women against Colgate.
Saw the WNEP interviewed Kelly.
Yes.
So, saw that.
Yeah, I talked to Steve Lloyd about that. They were working on a big story in regards to that and her playing days with Sue Bird, I think.
2,919 points.
That's right.
Yeah, I know it is. All right. I mentioned basketball getting older, college football getting older. I think it's made a big difference in the quality of the product we've seen. I realize that we get all excited about the one-and-dones and the freshmen that come in, but it's amazing what older players mean. I'm going to see a bunch of them on Thursday night. Alfonso Plummer is a transfer from Utah. Trent Frazier's in his fifth year. Monty Williams is in his fifth year. Kofi. Why? I don't understand why Kofi's got to be Kofi. I don't understand that. Here's the reason why. 15 years ago, he would have been a lottery pick. But now in today's NBA, he'll be lucky he gets picked late in the second round. He is a mountain of a man. But, I mean, they're an older team. Across the board. So I'll see them Thursday night. They're fighting for a Big Ten championship. Penn State's fighting to make sure they can somehow start the tournament on Thursday, not Wednesday. So that's what they're fighting for. Last night, of course, was... And look, there's no sugarcoating. It just was not good in any way, shape, or form. And then there's the baseball situation. Matt is just burning about baseball. Just furious right now.
Oh, it's gotten pretty bad in the last hour or so.
He's completely in support of Rob Manfred, by the way. No?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Did I miss something? Did I get that one wrong?
Just a little bit. But this is what's just come down in the last hour. So MLB players are starting to voice their frustration. Bryce Harper just tweeted out a little bit earlier, tagging the Yomiuri Giants in Tokyo. Yomiuri Giants, you up? Got some time to kill. Justin Turner, hot take. My sources, common sense, and reading in between the lines tell me that one of our game's greatest champions, Derek Jeter, is stepping away from a team with one of the best young pitching staffs in the game because ownership isn't committed to winning and spending. Oh, there's one more. Ron Fowler, who is on the MLB's Labor Policy Committee and has been in Jupiter for all 8 days of negotiations, has left the meetings and headed home, per Bob Nightingale. Other than that, times are great.
You got a whole group in there that thinks it's 1952 and not 2022. To be honest, it's a $10 to $11 billion business. Give some to get some. Luxury tax. Who cares if the players want it at 245? I mean, really, who cares? Okay? Let them have 230, 235, whatever. All right? What does that matter? How many teams approach $245 million in spending? You got 30 teams. How many approach it? Four? Three? Doesn't affect the other teams. The other teams are going to be sitting there going, yeah, I don't care. Go ahead. That's fine. It's no big deal. Minimum salary. Now, this affects everybody. Well, when you're talking about an additional $100,000 for the minimum salary, and say you've got, let's just take a round number, 10 minimum salary guys in your team, you're paying an extra million. No offense, it's an $11 billion industry. That's pennies on the dollar. You save that money when you blew up part of the minor leagues. That's why a lot of this doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make any sense. And that's why you sit back and you look, you roll your eyes at this. And again, the player, this is not a player issue. Remember, the players are being locked out. So they are not on strike. They're not on strike. And that's why this is an owner issue. This is not a player issue. Players are not on strike. If the players were on strike, then you could go all out at criticizing them. But they're locked out. So the union wants to get young players paid more. First, they want to get them to arbitration more quickly. Now, most teams want to give younger players a long-term contract and avoid arbitration. So, again, this is an irrelevant deal. Once in a while, how many players do you see go to arbitration now? If they're any good, they get into longer-term contracts. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out. Scott Kingery, for example, has not worked out. But most times, most teams try to get, you know what, this guy's pretty good. Let's just avoid arbitration. Let's give him what I have referred to as the arbitration contract. Just give it to him. Just let him have it. Who cares? Okay? The league is steadfast in keeping the Super 2s at 22% as agreed to the new pool, but offered just $20 million. For decades, most players have needed 3 years to reach arbitration. It's highly unlikely the owners are going to cave on the issue, one agent opined. But the bonus pool would allow the league to recognize the best first or second year players deserve more than the renewal of their contract at a slight raise. Okay. Minimum salaries. 2021, baseball rookies made $570,000. You know how much the NHL rookies made? $750. The league raised its offer to $640 and increased by $10,000 each year of the deal. The players want to begin at $775,000. For goodness sakes, just walk in and go, hey, look, let's start at $725,000 and go from there. I mean, for goodness sakes, does that take a genius to do this stuff? Now, the agents want a $1 million minimum. I would look at them and go, no. You haven't proven anything yet. Okay? You haven't proven anything. That's why I'd like to see, like, an escalator in it. Service time is an issue in how you calculate it. There's no doubt. They got to work that out. Revenue sharing, threshold 210, owners want to go to 214, last year the deal they wanted 222, players want to go as high as 245, for goodness sakes, just kick it up, nobody gets to the number, come on, use some common sense here, what the Dodgers do, the Yankees do, you know, and let's face it, I mean, in this century, out of the last 20 years, the Yankees have wasted money in 19 of the 20. Did I say that?
No, you're actually pretty accurate. I would be okay. I would back that statement. / they haven't spent it correctly.
Say the Cardinals aren't excited about the fact that, you know, the big money teams could pay more money. Well, you know what? You pay more money, but like, who says they're going to produce? I mean, to me, it's more about player development. I mean, you know, did the Braves overspend to win the World Series this year? Where'd the Braves spend money to win the World Series? The Braves aren't an overpaid team. They won the whole thing. Now, one thing I will say about the luxury tax, this is what a lot of people do not realize. When baseball was teetering in 2001 and Bud Selig went before Congress to discuss the situation in baseball and also the antitrust portion of it, he said, look, we've lost about $500 million. We may have to contract two teams. And those two teams, by the way, were going to be the Minnesota Twins and the Tampa Bay Rays. And it turned out that they both survived all this. And not only that, they're both thriving. I mean, the Twins have a brand-new ballpark. It's gorgeous. And, you know, and obviously, I know it was 8 below zero when I was there, but I just saw the ballpark again. It's a gorgeous park. And the Twins have won games. I mean, they won 100 games a couple of years ago, and the Rays, of course, have been highly successful in recent years. And they went with the luxury tax the next year. Since they've gone to the luxury tax, 13 different teams have won the World Series. And 19 different teams have played in the World Series. Those numbers are better than the NFL, which has, and better than the NBA, each of which has a cap and a floor. You learned something there, Matt.
Absolutely.
You didn't hear a word I said. All right. We'll come back with... You just focused on your next rant.
No, I did.
That's amazing. A lot of people don't realize that. Since they put the luxury tax in, the last 20 years, 13 different teams have won the World Series. 19 different teams have played in the World Series. That's 19 out of 30. That's not bad. That's actually better numbers than the NFL and better numbers than the NBA over the same period of time. So it's worked. But geez, I mean, you got to just start using some common sense on these things. And I want to hear about, you know, the Pirates need a floor, the Pirates need a floor. You know what they need? They need somebody to come in there and go, you know what? Hey, we got fans. Let's do something with fans. Let's spend some money here and see if we put a winner out there because the fans will come out in droves. All right, we'll take a break. They're going to miss the first month, which includes the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson Day. Really? That's how you're trying to grow the game? Really? Who sat down in the office and thought about that? I can guarantee you, no one. It's one thing, it's something that, this is going to be the old man on the lawn thing here for a moment. Young people have to get a better handle on history and the meaning of it. And it's something that when I'm teaching my class, I feel like I've got it, okay, I mean, elements from 15 to 25 years ago I have to tell them about. If you're going to be in this profession, I mean this profession, history gives you a reference to work off of today's issues. Right? I just talked about the World Series and the luxury tax. Those are the elements I'm going to bet any amount almost every person in this audience did not know. But it's my job to know that. It's my job to know that. And that's part of knowing the history of the game, and that's relatively recent history. Now, I'm trying my darndest to convince my class, if you're going to be into this, really be into it. Really be into it. Don't just be into social media and how I can promote my brand. Man, your brand is knowing what you're talking about. That's your brand. And believe me, do you think I wake up every day thinking about my brand? How about never? Think about doing my job better today than I did it yesterday. Now, the suit gives a different speech. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
In these negotiations, we have talks in which they don't move. They keep talking to each other, and they're not progressing forward. There's no doubt in this moment it's the owners who won so much financial landscape in 2016 by routing the players in that negotiation. They have the greater wealth. They need to be the group that steps forward toward the middle and to make a deal.
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
You're darn right I do, but it's not going to be giving any money to the owners or the players, that's for sure.
It should be, you got more to give, Rob Manfred. I tell you what, can we arrange, Steve, for John Herrera to go down to Jupiter first before going up to Champaign?
Might as well.
Let's do it.
He can get him to the table. No doubt about that. Look, you got, first of all, Tony Clark has, he fans the Flames. And he's the one that, to be honest with you, from a player's point of view, he did such a lousy job the last two times. And he did. He did not do a good job. All right? You can't trust these people. Hey, Tony, you said yes. Now, let's flip it to Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred, when he got such a sweetheart deal in 2016, should have said, hey, look, no. You know what? We need to make sure to keep the lines of communication open. I think we need to give you some things, too. I know you said yes to all this. You know what? We need to give on this and this a little bit. Kind of bring it closer. Manfred didn't do it. Manfred is also not a great public relations spokesman for the game of baseball. He's not liked. I mean, the fans, he very cold answers. Calling the World Series trophy a piece of tin or metal?
I guess it was metal. Yes.
Yeah. Now in 2009 it was, but I mean other years it's been. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle—they are the best in the insurance business. Purdy Insurance.